Ephesians chapter 4, 17-24. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being aliens from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. May the Lord add to the reading of his word this morning. Let's bow our hearts. Father God, we just ask that, Lord, you will speak to us this morning through your word. Lord, that you will give me clarity of mind and your word that needs to be spoken. And that, Lord, all that is done here this morning through my preaching and to those who are hearing your word, may we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't have to surprise you to tell you that we live in a mixed-up world, you know. Where he's or she's now, and she's or he's, and right is wrong, and wrong is right, and your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, and, well, there's really no truth, right? That's the world we're living in. But if we are truly Christians, that's not our world, right? Our world is truth, and it is in Jesus Christ, as our text said. Right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. In our text today, Paul is reminding us as Christians, and as he puts it in the Gentile form, speaking of those who are of a world, we're not to mix the two worlds. We are to pick our world and walk in it, in essence. And I know we all understand that that is a struggle as we are influenced by the world, influenced from our old nature, the old man, and we struggle, right, with the fact that this world and our own old nature is not to be where we are to be walking. Paul said in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Now, we need to understand when Paul is addressing Gentiles, you know, he's not, in this context, really just speaking of people that are non-Jewish, right? What he's really talking about are those who are those of the world, right? Those who are not Christian. And so this, when he uses Gentiles, certainly as a Jewish person, Paul would understand that a Gentile is somebody who's not Jewish, but now in this context, he understands that it's really those who are not of Christ. One of the things I don't think we often understand as Paul writes this, because as I spoke, you know, in our opening about what a screwed up world that we live in, it was just as screwed up in that time, right? Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. The Ephesians there Paul was there as we introduced ourselves and started in Ephesians. Paul ministered there for 3 years, right? And so Paul was very aware of what the culture and what was going on in the world that he was there. And these were people that were idolaters. They were people who worshiped all kinds of false gods. They were very much people who worshiped the god of money. If you read Acts, as Paul was there in Ephesus, as Paul was bringing people to know Christ, they started giving up these false gods, right? And so all the people who were making these false idols and the silver workers and so forth got upset and basically was trying to throw Paul out of the city and had him arrested. And so we see not only the gods of man's making up, the some of the gods was the, there was a temple there of Artemis and which was known as the seventh wonder of the world. It's this huge temple. In this temple, they worshipped fertility. This goddess was there of fertility, and basically it was just a whorehouse. And so I want us to understand, as we think, as bad as our world is today, it's nothing new. Right? It has always been. Yes, we live in a different world in the sense of technology, and the whole world is influenced with each other much more so than any time in history. It's still sin is a sin. You know, same things. It was debauchery and sexual sins and all the things. We look around and we shake our head and think, you know, how deviated can we get? Well, it was not just today. It's been so, right? And so Paul recognizes this as he writes to them, and also I think Paul understands this is something that it will be until Christ comes that we need to know. One of the things that Paul will dive into as he talks about that we should not walk that way, right? He talks about it, and again, end of verse 17, he says, in the futility of their mind. And I want you to, if you write in your Bibles, to understand that word, underline that word, futility of their mind. And you'll see that over and over. Paul uses that same phrase, and he says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, the work of all uncleanness and greediness, right? All that we can relate to today. Paul, I like to equate in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 27. I wasn't going to do the whole part, but I think we need to read this. This is where Paul really spent a lot of time kind of breaking this down even further, what he had just said here in Ephesians. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, but understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here Paul is talking about mankind, and Romans chapter 1 is where Paul really kind of goes through man's who we are as mankind and how God has shown himself, and we know, look, his creation, right? All his creation recognizes God, right? And the fact that man, he has presented himself through creation and other wondrous things. As we look at our own selves and our own understandings, we don't even see God in it, right? And he points that out. But really, you know, so that in verse 20 it says, because all they knew God, right? All they recognized something had to create this, even though they really deep down recognize it, right? Because they did not glorify him as God. In other words, they did not, by their own selfishness, their own heart, darkness of their heart, would not want to say, well, yes, there is a God, and God did this, and glory to Him, right? We see that today, right? People who will do everything to explain away the existence of God, right? We have our schools plumb full of way people saying that, you know, well, we just Big Bang Theory, and it just we all just happened, right? And it's just you, more you learn about how man is made, how everything that we see around us, how impossible that truly is, right? Yet they want to teach it and proclaim it as their truth. But to go on, they could get caught up on that. But as they glorified Him, God not, nor were thankful, but became, again, this word Paul uses, futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, right? They became futile in their hearts. Professing to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like an incorruptible man and birds and four-footed animals, creeping things. Here in Ephesus, they were great about making idols of all kinds of birds and animals and so forth. These were their gods that they worshipped. Therefore, God gave them over to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts, the dishonor of their bodies among themselves. In other words, God basically said, you know, I'm through with you in a sense. I'm not going to hold you back, right? You do what you want to go after this, I'll let you do it, right? And I think we see that so much in our today-to-day, especially this country today. We see that God has just let us, you want it? Well, here it is. You're going to see how your wickedness in your mind will where it will bring you. And what do we find? We're killing our babies before they're born, right? We're doing all kinds of, we're saying that, we want our children to change their sex and won't tell your parents, right? Where did that come from? And realize how crazy this world is as we see it, right? But yet these people are so screwed up in their head that they think that's the right thing to do. Going on, therefore God gave them over to uncleanness, lust of the hearts, dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use, for was against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned for lust of one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty and their error which was due. So Paul, I wanted to share that whole point, is that Paul shows a kind of progression, right? By the fact that man wouldn't recognize God, and then the futility of their mind. In other words, the futility of mind. If you look up what futility, the word futility really means emptiness, right? And really, I think in this context, it's really saying void of God, right? People in their own mind do not have the concept of the true living God, and they're just mindless. And so their minds come up with all these stupid things to follow the lust of their hearts and their mind. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, right? But the ends of this way of death. We need also recognize that the Bible equates the mind and the heart the same. When the Bible is talking about the heart, we're not talking about this thing that pumps blood around us, right? It's really our mind, right? It's really talking about that part of our mind and our understanding, or if you would, our compassion often, or passion is our hearts. And Genesis 6:5 says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and they every imagination and their thoughts of their heart, right? The thoughts of their heart were evil, only evil, continually. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Think who can know it, right? When people say, well, I'm just following my heart, that's trouble, right? When we follow our hearts or our own thinking or our own mind and things, then we basically we're going to walk down this road that Paul has given us right here. The futility of our mind, right? Because we think, and what we think is right is not what is right. And we need to be aware of that of ourselves in a sense. Mark 7:21, Jesus, from within of our hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murder, right? That's what's there, right? That's what is truly in our hearts or our minds. That's what comes out without God, without belief in Jesus Christ. It starts in our mind, and it's that futility or that emptiness. You know, I often refer to that we all have kind of a hole in our heart or in our minds of the lack of God, and God can only feel that, right? But we need to understand it's not like that we can understand that and say, well, I want God. I feel, you know, there's something missing in my life. You know, oh, it's God. You know, we're not aware. Scripture tells us over and over that we without the holy work of the Holy Spirit, right? None of us would come to Jesus Christ. None of us would come to the understanding that we're sinners. We need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We don't have that within us, right? And that's that futility of our mind, that emptiness in our mind. When we come to Christ, we need to recognize it is by the grace of God, it is by the work of the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and say, you need Jesus, right? You are a dreadful sinner, and you're going to die in your sins, and you're going to go to hell if you don't change your way. And we need to recognize and understand that, right? That is what is so beautiful about God. It's not somehow we got the idea, you know, I need Jesus. We don't have it within us. And that's what when we speak of grace, that beautiful grace of God, it is Him saying, I want you, and I'm going to poke and prod at you, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to work in your life or to try to bring to the understanding that you need me, right? To open your eyes and to see, because your futile mind will never come to that conclusion. And we need to understand that. So, in essence, you know, left by our own selves, what the Bible is trying to tell us that we're a mess. We're without hope, right? Without what God has done and Jesus Christ working in our lives, we ain't got a chance, right? We will just go off and our futility, our minds, and end up in the debauchery that Paul is basically in summation shared in our scripture text this morning. But as we read in Romans, how it progresses, right? How it just grows deeper and deeper and debauchery. And basically, it's all about us, right? What makes me feel good? It's all about what I want, and the rest of the world pays for it. Coming back to our scripture text, Paul's concern as he's writing this, as we understand the futility of our minds or without Christ, that's where we're at. Paul also has a concern for us that we do not fall back into that thing, right? Into that kind of thinking or in other words, following our humanness or of our flesh. This is where Paul is talking about, that we are not to fall in the way of the old man, right? You know, it is possible. You know, many people say, well, once saved, always saved. That's not the real point here. What the point is that even though we're a new man in Christ, if we have become a believer and truly a believer, right? Now, there's false conversion. We could go on to that and all that, but if we truly in Christ, we are also in a battle, right? And we're in a battle of the new man and the old man, right? Our flesh and that of the new born again person that Jesus Christ has made us. It's a battle. We need to recognize that. we can still, as the scripture kind of talks about, we can be a new man and still have the old garment on us, right? We still have that flesh that's still in us, you know, even though we need to allow the Spirit of God to be our dominant, our flesh is still in the background, right? Hopefully in the background and not in the foreground. So we should not walk as we did, Paul says. Verse 20 of our text, it says, "But you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust," again, as he outlined it in the first few verses there. Again, Paul's emphasis is the outlook as believers, that what, you know, have we not learned Christ had, and as he's talking about that, first of all, learned here is meaning a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? We can certainly have a knowledge of God in Christ. We can come and learn all about the facts of Jesus Christ. What we have to have is a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we are now his followers and believer of Jesus Christ. It's not what not knowing about Christ, but it's about have we received that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then Jesus within that teaches us, right? The things that we need to do right? What is the truth? And he shares that with us. And we have a personal responsibility as believers, right, to be taught, as Jesus teaches, is to learn that, right? You know, I know teachers gave as many tests as we grew up in our schools and so forth. They didn't give us tests to just, you know, embarrass me, you know. They gave tests to see if I, as they taught us, that test was to see, did I attain it? Did I receive what they taught, right? You can teach somebody something, but if they don't receive it, if they don't understand it, if they don't get it within their own mind and understanding, you have not learned it. And this is kind of what Paul is also speaking about. You know, if you don't have a relationship and if you haven't then received what Jesus has taught us and given us to how to walk in that new man, we need to understand. Have we attained Jesus Christ in our heart? Have we attained what he is teaching us and showing us throughout his word, and so that we can continue to walk his way, right? And in other words, that old way is no longer should be our way. But if we don't know what is the difference, right? If we don't know what the right way is, then we're going to walk in that old way, right? And so he says in verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Here he comes back to the point before we had that futile mind. Now he says that we need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, "And that you put on the new man, which is created according to God, the true righteousness and holiness. You know, it started in a futility of our mind, our sinful nature, you know, and if we allow it to continue, we as we saw in Romans, where it ends up, right? It's the same thing as we receive Jesus Christ. That is, again, the beginning of our new man, a new person in Jesus Christ, right? And as we renew the spirit of our mind through being reborn again and becoming a new creature. Peter said, in chapter 1, verses 13, he says, 1 Peter, "Therefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you, the revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, the understanding that I get it, right? To learn, revelation gives us an understanding that we get it, right? It's revealed to us, we understand it, we learned it. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but but as he who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." It's God's standard, Jesus' standard, is that we become more and more like him. Now, we may never and we will not, on this side of earth, the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ, but we are to attain, grow, and to continue to be closer and closer to Christ in our conduct, and that we are to become holy as he is holy. In other words, as is our goal, that is where we're to reach, right? That's that mountain that we're climbing as Christians today. That is our walk with the new man, is that we see what Christ's standard is, we see what Jesus wants us to be, and we'll stumble, we will fall, we'll seek to reach that goal. We will never truly reach it this side of earth again, but that is our goal. We are to keep our eyes on Christ, to continue to grow in our faith. For Colossians, Paul wrote, "Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on a new man who's renewed knowledge according to the image of him who created him." And again, we need to understand that, as Jesus talked about, as he drove out the demon and the person, and he says, you know, that's great. You drive I drove the demon out, but you know, the house is clean. But if you do not put something in it, right, that demon, or even be worse, right? And the same thing, we as Christians understand that, okay, we're going to put off the old man, but we got to put something back in it, right? And that is the Christ. And that, then it comes back to our responsibility as Christians is to know God's word, right? To study it, to as best as we can comprehend and understand and allow the Holy Spirit to live within us and to teach us daily, right? To speak through us. And that's part of our Christian life, as we learn how to do that, as we learn how to come closer to Christ and hear the voice of God, through the Holy Spirit. And as we read his word and God reveals something to us, as, oh, that's meant for me, or, oh, I'm there and I need to get there, or I'm not there and I need to get there. For we ourselves were once foolish, Paul says, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Again, pointing to the fact that it is God's work through us, right, that he has made available, who he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 3:3-7. And then the Old Testament speaks in Ezekiel 11:19. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put on them a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. In other words, Ezekiel in his writing is speaking of that, what God will do as Jesus, as he died on a cross, and the Holy Spirit came to indwell us, that he will change our hearts, right? We is that moment of transformation is immediate work. We started seeing things different. We may not have gotten it all, right? We may not have the whole big picture, and I don't still have it all, right? God reveals new and understanding to me every day. But the fact is that process, that renewing of our minds, we start to see things differently, right? Because that is the new man that Paul was talking about, that we need to put on, allow to walk or drive us through life. As we saw, salvation, or understand, salvation comes through repentance and comes through a changed mind, right? Repentance means that we're going to change our mind and change our ways, turn from where we're at, right? And this is what Paul is reminding us of, that as we were walking as Christians, that we got to continue to repent of what the old man is, the influence of the world and the influence of our own flesh that is within us, battling within us, that we need to have the mind changed and to continue to grow. Just like the mind of an unsaved person, it's futile, right? It doesn't have understanding and cannot grasp the fact that they need salvation. They need a God, right? And talk till God reveals it. Well, God now, as He has revealed it to us, as we accepted Jesus Christ, God is there continue to remind us that, whoa, this is not the path to go. This is the path to go. And we get that through the understanding of His Word, through allowing the conscience and the Holy Spirit to speak through us and so forth. But again, that all gets clouded many times because of the rat race we live in or the influence of the world that we live in. We got to be reminded that we got to continue to renew our mind, right? And renew means to bring it back to where it should be and to continue to grow it. And again, all this is what Paul is trying to get us to understand and grasp, to understand that we're in a battle, ultimately, that we need to continue to put on the new man. It's not a once you're there, you're always there, right? It'd be nice that if once you accepted Jesus Christ and became a Christian, you were there, and you wouldn't have to load through life in a battle of the flesh. But really, if you kind of think about it, why does God put tests in us? He doesn't tempt us, right? But He does allow us to go through tests. And again, that test, we know in real life, is to see, have we attained it? And when we go through those tests in our life, have we gotten what Christ is trying to convey or wants us to live and understand, right? And so as we struggle, and I think if you just sit back and think some of the things where you once were when some situations came up in your life, how you dealt with it, and it may have tore you up and just devastated you emotionally, and maybe now you have a different viewpoint and understanding, that means that you learned, right? You've learned Christ. You've learned that new man. You've learned what God wants of us. And so what we once, as maybe baby Christians, would not handled as well, and we handled different today. So encourage yourself. You know, think about those things that, you know, this is where I once was, but I'm not there anymore, right? I am growing, and I am. And I think sometimes we beat ourselves up and get to a point in our life that I'm still dealing with this temptation, or I'm still dealing with this thing in my life, and you know, am I ever going to get better? Am I ever going to, well, you know, understand that they're tests, and try to seek God's guidance in these things, and where we will, quote, learn them, right? Where we will really attain what Christ would have us do, how we should deal with these things in our lives, instead of continue to be ignorant about it, but seek God's guidance in it. So anyway, as believers, we are to deal with life things. Our understanding is different. We are walking as a new person in Christ. And so we need to understand that and to continue to seek God's guidance in all things that we do and walk in that new man, right? Be different than the world, certainly. But as we grow in Christianity or Christ, that this is a process and it's not immediate. And celebrate what God has done in your life, but understand it's easy to fall back, right? It's easy to not allow to slide, to be that backslid slider that the Scripture kind of talks about. Okay, we'll try to wrap it up here. Let's have a word of prayer.